Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Sunday, December 4th, 2022. This is your award-winning Give a Nation Media Assassination, episode 1509.
This is No Agenda.
Still down, but not out. And broadcasting live, almost, from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where we're still waiting for a sporting event, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Sumo? No. What's sporting? What is sporting
sumo,
event?
The sumo comes back in January.
Okay. Well, here we are, John. I'm sorry. I just wasn't quite up to it. This is a big surprise. The recommendation was just, you know, he already told me to stop doing all this stuff. Just go slow. Go slow. Let it heal. So there's clearly a reason why I had to do that. But it's okay because Circumference was so kind to pick up the slack and to put together a unique best of.
Yeah, it's crazy. I never thought of this idea.
I didn't think of it either. And I think we could do more because he went back to, I think, episode 1200. So he's gone back several years. It would take a yeoman's effort to get them all. Did we start with clips of the day early on?
Clip of the day? I don't know. If there's a time code on the jingle, it might be.
Oh, this jingle has been copied so many times. Let me see. Clip of
the day. Should be a file creation date.
There should be. Clip of the day. I have now. I go back to 2011 is the furthest back I've got, but that's 10, 20. It's got to be older than that, don't you think?
No, I don't even remember how it was introduced.
October 26, 2011 is the earliest one I have.
Well, there's a lot of them here for everyone to enjoy because they're better than, you know, I always think clip of the day is always literally the best clip.
The best clip
on
of the
entire
day.
Show. And there's rarely more than one. And most of the time we don't even have one.
So this is a true treat. We really appreciate our executive producer, Circumference, who put this together. Sit back and enjoy. You'll remember some of them. Other ones you'll just be like, what? That happened? This is best of clips of the day for No Agenda.
Clip of the day.
Clip of the day. Clip of the day.
I might have seen Saturday Night Live with the audience all masked up, all being perfect little human resources. Or is there something else going on?
Saturday Night Live is continuing to tape with live audiences, even though we're during the pandemic. Lauren, how are they getting away with this?
A loophole. They pay their audience members. They pay them $150 to show up, sit indoors as part of that live audience. So technically they're workers of the show. And that's why, despite all the lockdowns in the spring and New York Governor Cuomo's threats to shut indoor dining in New York City if the hospitalization rate doesn't immediately level off, Saturday Night Live continues to film.
They just paid. They're paid extras who are getting paid $150 to risk their life. I find this hilarious.
It's unbelievable. That is the funniest clip. I'm giving you a clip of the day.
This is what it looks like when hospitals reach a breaking point.
Get that mouth up for me, okay?
Tonight, Central California joining the southern end of the state in crisis. No open ICU beds for a region home to more than 27 million people.
I was listening to this, and I want to play this clip. This is the part I'm focusing in on. This is the two vaccines WTF clip. This is a six-second sub, the thing that got my attention.
That means, listen to this, it means more than 27 million people don't have access to an ICU bed if needed.
Now,
wow.
So we've taken it to the next level from the idea over, or the percentage is up, it's up 500%.
Ah, that's the same, it's just another version of the...
You reversed it.
Yeah, a million people said they had no problems with the vaccine.
It's unbelievable to me. Because the media could take the same kind of logic and downplay this entire COVID problem if they use that same trick the other way about COVID itself.
Yeah.
In other words, we don't have 250,000 dead or 260, let's say 250,000 dead. We have over 300 million people that aren't dead.
We have stumbled upon something. This is a very good trick. That I'm going to give you a clip of the day for that. And now this news about what they're doing in Argentina is a doozy.
Talks between Argentina and Pfizer began in June 2020. In July, President Alberto Fernandez held a meeting with Pfizer's CEO in Argentina. Guess what followed? Pfizer asked to be compensated for the cost of any future lawsuits. What does that mean? Say someone files a civil lawsuit against Pfizer in Argentina, and if that person wins the case, who pays the compensation? It won't be Pfizer. It would be the government of Argentina. Now, Argentina had never done this before, but it made an exception. It needed life-saving vaccines, and desperate times call for desperate measures. So Argentina's parliament passed a new law in October 2020. But Pfizer was unhappy with its phrasing. The law said Pfizer needs to at least pay for negligence, for its own mistakes, if it happens to make any in future. Pfizer rejected this. It won't pay for its mistakes. Argentina then offered to amend the law to define negligence more clearly, to include only vaccine distribution and delivery under negligence. Pfizer was still not happy. It demanded the law be amended through a new decree. That's when Argentina put its foot down. They refused. Pfizer then asked Argentina to buy an international insurance. What for? To pay for potential future cases against the company. Argentina agreed. In December 2020, Pfizer came back with more demands. It wanted sovereign assets as collateral. What does that mean? Pfizer wanted Argentina to put, and listen to this, put its bank reserves, its military bases, and its embassy buildings at stake as collateral.
This is great.
This is unbelievable. You know, that what you just played, that clip, which I'm going to give you clip of the day for.
It's real.
And it's a little technical for the all our techies out there, the people at lab workers all think it's interesting. But the key information is at the very end of this clip, it's something we should all know about.
Now, that vitamin D3, after it's produced by the sun, goes to the liver, and the 25-hydroxyl gets put onto it. This species here, the 25-hydroxy vitamin D, is what we actually measure in the blood. Whether you get it from diet or whether you get it from the sun, there's two ways of getting it, but this is how we can measure it. And that's how you're going to see it measured and reported in the rest of this presentation, is 25-hydroxy vitamin D. This is kind of like the storage product in your body. It's fat soluble. It is stored in the fat. Then when it's needed, it can either go to the immune system where it's converted into 1,25-dihydroxy vitamin D, which is the active form, or it can go to the kidney and it can be converted there to 1,25-dihydroxy vitamin D. Now, the one in the kidney is usually used for metabolism of calcium and phosphorus and things of that nature. But there's a whole other area. In fact, they found many vitamin D receptors in the leukocytes, or the white blood cells, your immune cells in the body. Now, the other thing you ought to know is that this 1,25-dihydroxy vitamin D, which is the active form, can be inactivated when they put a hydroxyl group, they being the 24-hydroxylase enzyme, can inactivate it by hydroxylating the 24 position. Can also do it here with 25-hydroxy from the kidney as well. So this is the inactive form. There is some evidence, and if you want more information about this, look at COVID-19 update 83 in our MedCram series, and you'll see that high fructose corn syrup actually can accelerate this inactivation of both the 1,25-dihydroxy vitamin D and also the 25-hydroxy vitamin D to the inactive form. So that's not to say that other sugars with fructose couldn't do that, but that's what the study showed that we presented in update 83. So you may be supplementing, you may be out in the sun, but if you have a diet that's high in high fructose corn syrup, and I'm not talking about fructose from fruits and vegetables, but actually high fructose corn syrup, that is something that can cause problems.
Wow, like every soft drink.
I just thought that little piece of information is so valuable.
But resist, we much.
So the Queensland chief medical officer, she didn't realize her gaffe. Or was it really a gaffe?
But we're almost through all of 1A. It's now 1B. 1B are our most critical people. So they are our older people, 70 years of age and older. We know they are just so vulnerable to getting ill and dying from this vaccine. It's people under that age.
Is that a doozy?
That's the best one yet.
Is that a doozy or what?
That was just straight up.
And I'm not sure it's a gaffe. You know?
That is a beauty.
Anyway, we now have authorization, emergency use authorization for children, 12 to 15? I think we need to reach out to the kids. CDC credits all over this influencer on TikTok. It's for the kids. Come on, kids, sing along. You'll enjoy
it. We're gonna get it soon, and then we can play. Yay! I'm so excited. We will get to play together when it's done. The shot. We will get to play together when it's done. The shot. We will get to play together. We will get to play together. We will get to play together when it's done. The shot.
How sad is it? You're muted. Hello? It says you have muted yourself.
Yes, I didn't do anything.
Oh, well, you showed up as muted.
I went to look at my clean feed thing and it was blackened, like you said. It was muted, but I didn't do it.
I'm not blaming you. It's gremlins. It's a glitch.
I will say that what I was trying to say was that you get your clip of the day for that.
And the hero worship of our health professionals continues with our new CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky. And I play this clip because it will fit in the future pandemic movie that will be made about this moment. It could even fit in a video game about a deadly pandemic. It's one of those kind of AM radio sounding things that just makes it so real. As she throws out the first pitch for the Boston Red Sox.
Won't you please welcome the 19th director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
Wow, big cheers.
Catching Dr. Walensky's pitch is Christian Vasquez. Okay, let's see a strike. Thank you, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, for all that you and everyone at the CDC does to protect our safety, health, and security at home and abroad.
Oh, my God, this is unbelievable.
I knew you'd like it.
I don't know who the hell got you that clip, but it goes for clip of the day.
Yeah, well, let's see what this is.
Half of the United Kingdom's population is now fully vaccinated, with AstraZeneca a pillar of its rollout. And last night, National Cabinet decided to make the Australian version of the jab available to everyone under 40.
If you wish to get the AstraZeneca vaccine, then we would encourage you to, A, go and have that discussion with your GP.
And the Commonwealth will now cover the legal costs of any adverse effects from prescribing any vaccine.
All vaccines for all healthcare providers, for all recipients.
But the mixed messages just keep coming.
There are some people who have been asking to get AstraZeneca, although the clinical advice is that they should not.
I mean, what was that report even about?
Wow.
I really
That's
don't know.
That's the clip of the day. I'm giving you a clip of the day because it's such a crazy, stupid, lousy clip.
And someone asked you, have you had your vaccine yet? And you know damn well you're not taking this thing. How do you answer that? How do you go through it? Well, we know.
Question for you. I've heard you have not yet had your shot. When do you plan to get it?
The sooner I can, I will. The only sensitivity here, Meg, is that I don't want to have an example, but I'm cutting the line. But I am 59
brother.
Years old, in good health. I'm not working in the front line. So my type is not recommended to get vaccinated.
Hey, that train left the station, dude. We pulled that. We tried to pull that stunt, but that was 6 months ago.
It makes you think, once you think about it, that maybe none of this is really about COVID.
Maybe it's about social control.
So this is them playing a clip of Tucker, and they're going to comment on it.
And this has never, Sean, been about following the science. It's never been about following the facts and the truth. It's been about control from day one.
I mean, I honestly think this is the greatest scandal of my lifetime.
Hang in there, buddy.
I thought the Iraq War was. This seems much bigger than that.
607,771 Americans have died of the coronavirus. More than 99% of the people dying from COVID right now are unvaccinated.
This is what a great, I have to give her kudos for that. She just gave you the actual percentage over the full number, but presented it in a way that you just go, wow. Because that's it. Yeah.
Because most of them were before the vaccine existed.
I've always thought about vaccines, and I always think about just nature and the way everything works. And I feel like a vaccination in a weird way is just generally kind of going against nature. Like, I mean, if there is some disease out there, maybe there's just an ebb and flow to life where something's supposed to wipe out a certain amount of people, and that's just kind of the way evolution goes. Vaccines kind of stand in the way of that.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to give you a clip of the day for that. In the
morning. This is from TikTok. Just a creative little ditty from a young woman on TikTok. And you'll understand what's going on in society.
Did you get the vaccine?
No.
Why?
Why didn't you get it? What if you catch COVID?
The vaccine doesn't stop you from catching COVID.
Why are you being so selfish? What if you catch it and give it to me?
But you've been vaccinated.
Yeah, but you can still give it to me.
What's the vaccine for then?
It'll stop you from getting really sick and dying if you catch it.
So if I catch it and give it to you, but you've already had the vaccine, it'll still stop you from getting really sick and dying.
Exactly. That's why you should get it.
That's why I should get it? But you got it already.
But if you catch it, you could get sick and die.
So by not getting the vaccine, the only person I'm putting at risk is myself of getting sick and dying?
No, you're putting me at risk.
Didn't you already get the vaccine so you won't get sick and die, even if I gave it to you?
But you could give it to someone who can't be vaccinated.
But so could someone who's been vaccinated, because the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting COVID.
Just do it, okay? It's the right thing.
Wow. That's clip of the day.
Vaccinated people are at risk for the new variants and transmit it. It's proven now in different countries. So vaccinated people should be put in quarantine and should be isolated from the society. And unvaccinated people are not dangerous. Vaccinated people are dangerous for others. It's proven in Israel now, as I'm in contact with many physicians in Israel, they have a big problems. Now severe cases in hospitals are among vaccinated people.
And so the general idea...
Now, hold on. This clip, which is hard to hear,
mm-hmm.
is really profound.
From this coming from this guy, yes, I agree.
Yeah, I would say this is the most profound, and this should be a clip of the day.
A clinical lab technician, doctor, I think it was trained at the Mayo Clinic, and he's going to talk about the T cells, and he's also going to be talking about what he's seeing in the lab now that vaccinations are, pretty much over and done with. I don't think we're going to get many more people vaccinated. So this is what he's seeing.
But what we're seeing in the laboratory after people get these shots, we're seeing a very concerning locked in low profile of these important killer T cells that you want in your body. It's almost a reverse HIV. In HIV, you lose your helper T cells, your CD4 cells. In this virus post-vaccine, what we're seeing is a drop in your killer T cells, your CD8 cells. And what do CD8 cells do? They keep all other viruses in check. What am I seeing in the laboratory? I'm seeing an uptick of herpes family viruses. I'm seeing herpes. I'm seeing shingles. I'm seeing mono. I'm seeing a huge uptick in human papillomavirus in the cervical biopsies and the cervical pap smears in women. In addition to that, there's a little infectious bump the kids get called molluscum contagiosum. What do you need to keep that in check? You need CD8 killer T cells. I am seeing a 20 times increase in individuals over the age of 50 of this little bump and rash. You know, that's innocuous, but what it tells me is the immune status of these individuals who have gotten the shot. We're literally weakening the immune system of these individuals. Now, most concerning of all is there's a pattern of these types of immune cells in the body that keep cancer in check. Well, since January 1 in the laboratory, I've seen a 20 times increase of endometrial cancers over what I see on an annual basis. A 20 times increase. I'm not exaggerating at all, because I look at my numbers year over year. I'm like, gosh, I've never seen this many endometrial cancers before. I'm seeing invasive melanomas in younger patients. Normally, we catch those early, and they're thin melanomas. I'm seeing thick melanomas skyrocketing in the last month or two. Nice. I'm already seeing the early signals, and we are modifying the immune system to a weakened state. Great study out of Germany that looked at these profiles on young individuals after the Pfizer, showing this locked in, and we don't know how long. Maybe the immune system, you know, is going to regenerate and those ratios will go back up. But who's studying it? And where are the long-term trials? 2 months, 4 months? How long is this profile locked in? We don't know.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of...
Well, that's a depressing clip of the day.
But I'm saying, do people really know what's in stuff that they inject in their bodies all the time? And they're
what
like,
they
oh,
eat, what they drink?
They eat, what they drink, all the... Stop it. Stop it with the ignorance. And we have to stop saying, oh, well, you know, you have to listen to people and... No, you don't. These people are being harmful to the greater good. You don't have to listen to a minority of people who are being harmful to the greater good and who are not acting on logic, reason, and science. I had an issue. I told you, Chris, when my family was here, and they were saying, well, I don't know. I said, you know how you got here to visit me in New York? You took an airplane. What is that? Science. Right? You know why people live to be older than 40, 50, 60 years old these days? Science.
Medicine.
No one questions that. You know why people, what is so contradictory about it? Science. When people get sick, they go into the hospital and they say, throw it all, give it to me, inject it, put it in me. And you're going to pay a whole lot of money. And you're going to tax the medical system when you could have gotten it for free.
So.
Wow, that guy's off the rails.
Stands out about white anti-vaxxers in particular. Is it the
Please pay attention. Okay, he's white. He's white.
What stands out about white anti-vaxxers in particular is that they act like their freedom has been taken from them. And they have this weird habit of trying to do that by co-opting the history of actually oppressed people.
Here it comes.
Clapton is no different. He claimed that vaccine mandates are discrimination. The lyrics of his song with Van Morrison include, do you want to be a free man or do you want to be a slave? And as Rolling Stone points out, this isn't Clapton's first nasty brush with matters of race.
There we
go. He used a derogatory term to describe his friend Jimi Hendrix in 1968, though the magazine points out it was, quote, hipster slang at the time.
By the way, if I could point out to you, Joy, both Jimmy and Eric are Brits. They're racist. Come on. This is not a surprise, but don't lay it on slavery from America.
And at a concert in 1976, he went on a racist rant that included him saying, stop Britain from becoming a black colony. Keep Britain white. It was particularly shocking at the time because Clapton's music was heavily influenced, one might say appropriated, from black musicians. One of his biggest hits was a cover of Bob Marley's I Shot the Sheriff. Clapton has apologized for his racist past, blaming it on his addictions to alcohol and drugs. But his behavior over the past year is also questionable, and as Rolling Stone put it, Clapton went from setting the standard for rock guitar to making full-tilt racist rants and becoming an outspoken vaccine skeptic.
Wow.
Did he change, or was he always like this? I mean, maybe he's just a jerk.
Oh, that was really dynamite. I have to applaud her for taking it to Eric Clapton being a full-on evil racist.
But NPR story was... didn't bring up the most interesting point at all, you'll see when we get to it. Let's play this. This is the real story.
Fireworks fill the sky as Barbados officially swears in Sandra Mason as its first ever president. The island is home to over 300,000 people.
We now turn our vessel's bow towards the new republic.
While the island will remain a member of the Commonwealth, this is the first time in almost three decades that a realm has removed Queen Elizabeth as head of state. Despite the official celebration, British Member of Parliament Tom Tugendhat has accused China of playing a large role in Barbados's decision. He said Beijing is using investments to gain leverage and undermine the UK's status as a key partner with Caribbean nations. In recent years, Barbados has reportedly embraced more than $600 million in funding from China for projects as part of Beijing's Belt and Road Initiative.
Okay, wow.
This clip, listen to this clip and tell me if anything sticks out.
After all the UFO sightings, I'm sure you've seen a million pictures and moving video now of UFOs and all the rest of it. You think the Belgian sightings were perhaps accurate with what you know about the drive systems? Have you seen any other film or stills of UFOs that look like the real McCoy to you?
Absolutely, because once I started looking into it, now I don't research this stuff anymore, and I get a lot of people asking me UFO questions, and actually, believe it or not, it doesn't interest me. I liked being involved in the project, but I don't, you know, look into UFO stories or research this stuff. But when I did, when I said the craft operate in two modes, the Omicron and Delta configuration, when it's transitioning from Omicron to Delta, the way the craft flies through in space is belly first, not flying horizontal like you see in a science fiction movie. And as the craft leave the ground in Omicron mode, they perform a roll maneuver where the craft raises, and you know, eventually you see it at a 45 degree angle, and then it becomes straight up and down 180 degrees.
Right.
The amplifiers come up to power, they focus on a point, and the craft flies belly first at the target. And you see a lot of UFO photographs here and there with crafts ascending in the sky at a 45 degree angle but flying up, or sitting at odd angles in the sky. And at least from what I can guess from the photographs, if they in fact are genuine, it looks like the craft are transitioning from one mode to another.
And so you've seen quite a few of those.
I've probably seen three or four of those.
Three or four?
Yeah.
So the majority of UFO photos are by you pretty much dismissed, but every now and then one hits you and you say, hey, look at that.
Yeah, if it has something that clicks somewhere, but you know, these days, you just take a picture into Adobe Photoshop and, you know, you can make anything.
I do know. Bob, I can't thank you enough for coming on tonight. With regard to your movie, Blue Book Film, hey, do you have any idea what the title might be?
It's real!
People have asked me, Dr. McCullough, are the vaccines actually causing the deaths? The epidemiological construct that we have to go through is called the Bradford Hill Tenets of Causality. So the first question is it a large epidemiologic signal? And I tell you, it's astronomical. All the vaccines combined in the United States per year, it's no more than 150 deaths, not temporally related. Here we're at over 21,000 deaths. So clearly, it's a massive signal. Number two, is there a dangerous mechanism of action? The answer is yes. We know the vaccines have a dangerous mechanism of action. They install production of the spike protein. The spike protein is what makes the respiratory infection lethal, and it follows that in some people, excessive production of the spike protein in a vulnerable person would be lethal after a vaccine. The third criteria, is it internally consistent? Are there other conditions that are now acknowledged that they themselves could be fatal? And the answer is sure. With myocarditis, our FDA agrees, all the regulatory experts agree that the vaccines cause myocarditis. Can it be fatal? Yes. Have there been fatal cases published? Yes. By Verma and Choi as an example. Those are publications. There's over 200 peer-reviewed publications of myocarditis. How about other forms of death? Vaccine-induced thrombocytopenic purpura, thrombosis, blood clots, a stroke, hypertension, myocardial infarction, a variety of other lethal syndromes. There's over 1,000 peer-reviewed papers published on fatal and non-fatal outcomes. So that criteria is met. So it's internally consistent. Is it externally consistent? So it's consistent with the yellow card system, the UDRA system, and the U.S. FAIR system. And finally, is it temporally related? Yes, it's very tightly temporally related. So I've just gone through the exercise. It is beyond any shadow of a doubt that the vaccines are causing large numbers of deaths. It's unequivocal. And I'm a card-carrying epidemiologist. I'm telling you, the vaccines are causing large numbers of deaths.
He's going to be off it pretty soon.
He's going to be very off it.
You get the EUA submission from the company, which is 85 to 100 pages long. And then you get the FDA's review of all those data. It really, really is heartening. I mean, it is a very thorough review. Not here. Here it was 22 pages from the FDA, which included a half a page on Pfizer's data and a half a page on Moderna's data. You could get that from the press release. In fact, it was no more detailed, frankly, than the press release. So I just thought the question we're being asked is in the end, always, is do the benefits outweigh the risks? Even though the risks are generally small and sometimes unknown, that's always the question. Do the benefits of this vaccine outweigh the risks? I didn't see the benefits. I was surprised, actually, frankly, that of the 21 voting members, 19 voted yes, because I just didn't see the evidence for that. And we'll see how this plays out. I mean, this was something that I think that was desired by this administration. I could be wrong, but the way that this, the other thing that was odd about this meeting was that we're an advisory committee. We're being asked for our advice. So normally what happens is they just present the data. Here's the data. What's your advice? And people can ignore our advice. I mean, I'm in academic medicine. People ignore my advice all the time. But to make the best advice. So here, on the other hand, Howard, they had somebody from the WHO, Contra Subbarao, who presented their opinion about this. And their opinion was they thought this was a good idea. And then you had the FDA presenting, where they also had an opinion. That's unusual. And then the next day, you know, you read a public health announcement from the a press release from HHS, Health and Human Services, that says that the government has decided to purchase at least 105 million doses from Pfizer, with up to 300 million doses. It was a little unclear from that press release, but they mentioned that we had just made this decision the day before. So you just sort of felt like the fix was in a little bit here. Maybe that's not the right phrase, but it was something that they wanted. And I felt like we were being led here with a critical lack of information.
You're right.
The fix was in.
All right. Dr. Offit.
He's got the right words.
Due to the scale of the rollout, it now appears tens of thousands of practitioners have repeatedly performed medical treatments properly termed gross medical and or professional negligence. With respect to patients receiving the COVID-19 injectables, where each practitioner has no immunity from government whatsoever. So these practitioners are therefore personally and professionally liable to actions for medical negligence from their patients receiving COVID-19 injectables, particularly those patients who subsequently died or suffered adverse side effects from the COVID-19 injectables. Additionally, due to the illegal nature of the AFRA and National Board's joint statement, it does also appear that the public offices of AFRA and the National Board's responsible for the creation and publication of the 9 March 2021 statement are now legally exposed to the action of misfeasance in public office. As the harm to COVID-19 vaccine victims was foreseeable in terms of these still remaining experimental gene-based therapies, these vaccine victims and future victims who later develop vaccine-related injuries and illnesses can sue the public offices of AFRA and the national boards in their personal capacity. A further liability in the same public offices appears available to those registered practitioners who improperly administered the COVID-19 injectables in breach of their codes of conduct. Should those health practitioners subsequently be sued by their patients and they have to pay damages to their patients, then those health practitioners may in turn be able to sue the public offices of AFRA and the national boards for coercing and threatening them to ignore their codes of conduct. Such a legal action, again, would be the tort of misfeasance in public office.
We'll see.
It's the wow clip.
The truth is that DARPA, which is the operational development arm, basically the CIA, fell in love with the RNA technology over a decade ago. And they decided to capitalize it and force it into the market space. And for instance, they're the ones that have capitalized through InQtel, their investment arm, the new RNA manufacturing facilities up in Canada. This is a CIA program. Don't, you know, there's no ambiguity here. I'm not telling state secrets. The technology was basically pulled out of the trash can because it had been suppressed by Merck after I developed it over 30 years ago.
Oh, there you go.
And advanced very aggressively by DARPA. DARPA funded and basically built Moderna. They're continuing to push all this, and they're pushing it through the government. And what you're seeing is the power of the intelligence community and the new biodefense industrial complex that's developed since the anthrax attacks and really goes beyond that, in being able to push their agenda through the government. Okay, when you see all these things that Paul's documenting, all these circumventing of normal procedures and rules, that's happening because largely our intelligence community is pushing that through the administrative state structure.
Now, here are a couple of caveats, because there are always a few caveats.
Oh.
If you got a recent infection or were recently vaccinated, it's reasonable to wait a few months. Now, we expect millions of people to get the shot this month as folks get back to school, get back to work, and get back into their regular routines after the summer. And as the annual flu vaccination campaign kicks into high gear later this month and into early October, we expect millions will choose to get their COVID-19 shot at the same time.
No!
Or over the course of the fall when people go in for routine checkups. And as the annual flu vaccination campaign kicks into high gear later this month and into early October, we expect millions will choose to get their COVID-19 shot at the same time.
Oh!
Or over the course of the fall when people go in for routine checkups. The good news is you can get both your flu shot and COVID shot at the same time. It's actually a good idea.
Right. Well, he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you why. I'm glad you stepped on it so I can stop it and bring your attention to it. He will explain.
The good news is you can get both your flu shot and COVID shot at the same time. It's actually a good idea. I really believe this is why God gave us two arms, one for the flu shot and the other one for the COVID
shot. Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. Okay. Clip of the day. Clip of the day.
Okay.
Okay.
And our Ellie Reeve also found these conspiracy theories are running rampant among some white evangelical Christians.
Uh-huh. Republicans.
Are you going to get the vaccine?
No. It's detrimental to your health. It starts going into conspiracy theory type stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I do. I believe it's Bill Gates and them trying to kill us.
This has real consequences, right? I mean, and it comes in the same day that President O'Biden is now...
Whoa! Did you hear
us? Did she say President O'Biden?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
This has real...
She was so shook up by that clip that she threw in an O'Biden. Gotta love it. Classic.
This has real consequences, right? I mean, and it comes in the same day that President O'Biden is now vowing to supply...
Wow. O'Biden! We haven't heard that mistake for a long time.
No, that's a good one, too.
And that's what the labor union is all about.
What? So I got to hear the beginning again. What?
And that's what the labor union is all about. Dignity. Provides dignity for people who deserve to be treated differently.
Okay, what is the blah, blah, to be treated differently? Hold on.
That's the kicker.
That's what the labia is all about.
Okay, that's what the labia is all about. What is he saying?
No, that's not what he said.
What is he saying?
He said that's what the labor union is all about.
Okay, let me hear it again.
That's what the labia is all about.
Yeah.
Dignity. Provides dignity for people who deserve to be treated differently.
Play contradictory comment.
COVID-19 has changed the way we spend our time and our money. More products are being delivered than ever before. That's because people have a little more breathing room than they did last year.
Okay, that's the one.
That's a good thing.
Okay, it's because...
So he says there's plenty of shit out there to buy.
No, people are buying shit. That's what he's saying. It's just,
he says, but they got more breathing room.
Yeah, they got... Because the government gave them stimmy checks.
Okay, well, play irony and inflation.
And the irony is people have more money now because of the first major piece of legislation.
when he realized the irony of it, he went haywire. Hey, wait a minute. We're about to give him more money. Let's hear that again.
And the irony is people have more money now because of the first major piece of legislation I passed. To the torches, don't you ever think you'd see in the modern times people coming out of the fields down in Charleston, in Charlotte, Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia, carrying torches and Nazi banners, screeching most anti-Semitic, anti-black rhetoric in history. Hundreds and hundreds of them. And when asked, the guy who had this job before, when asked what he thought about it, he said, well, there's some very good people there. Hell, very good people. They're racist. They're fascists.
Wow. Oh, now I see why you wanted to play these clips.
I don't know if you think it's as funny as I did, but I found it highly amusing.
We stand divided.
That's the Prime Minister of Belize, Johnny Briceño, scolding Biden, who was sitting on stage nearby.
And that is why the Summit of the Americas should have been inclusive. Geography, not politics, defines the Americas.
Argentina's President Alberto Fernandez piled on.
Definitivamente hubiésemos querido otra cumbre de las Américas.
He says he wished the summit was different, saying the silence of those who are absent is calling to us. Then it was Biden's turn.
I think we're off to a strong start.
Someone's getting fired. It even started out perfectly. Let me hear, the beginning was good too.
We stand divided.
Yeah, we stand divided.
That's the Prime Minister of Belize, John.
That's great. And then Biden, oh, poor sap.
Off to a strong start.
Oh, poor man. And I think Jen Psaki really believes in it. This clip of her being super upset and getting everything wrong, because I've read the parental rights bill. There's really nothing in there that is crazy out of the ordinary, but she takes it this way.
This is a political wedge issue and an attempt to win a culture war. And they're doing that in a way that is harsh and cruel to a community of kids, especially. I'm going to get emotional about this issue because it's horrible. But you know, it's like kids who are bullied and they're just like all these leaders are taking steps to hurt them and hurt their lives and hurt their families. And you look at some of these laws in these states and it is going after parents who are in loving relationships who have kids. It's
It could withstand a court challenge. You don't have an absolute right to own private property in Canada.
And believe me, he says you don't have the absolute right to own private property in Canada.
I'm not going
to
argue now, but after playing it over and over.
Hold on, let's finish the clip.
In Canada, there are steps that are taken when expropriations happen at whatever level of government, and we'll be sure to stay within those boundaries.
Well, that fits right into the WEF, and you won't own anything because you don't.
And you'll be happy. You'll be very happy about it. Yeah, I find that that was an interesting one.
Okay. You get the clip of the day. Yeah.
This had everything to do with race.
It's easier to be a parent this morning. It's easier to be a dad. It's easier.
What?
To tell your kids character matters. It matters. Telling the truth matters. Being a good person matters. And it's easier for a whole lot of people. If you're Muslim in this country, you don't have to worry if the president doesn't want you here. If you're an immigrant, you don't have to worry if the president's going to be happier to have babies snatched away or send dreamers back for no reason. This is vindication for a lot of people who have really suffered.
Oh, my God.
You know, the I can't breathe. You know, that wasn't just George Floyd. That was a lot of people that felt they couldn't breathe. Every day you're waking up and you're getting these tweets and you just don't know. And you're going to the store and people who have been afraid to show their racism are getting nastier and nastier to you. And you're worried about your kids and you're worried about your sister. And can she just go to Walmart and get back into her car without somebody saying something to her? And you spent so much of your life energy just trying to hold it together. And this is a big deal for us just to be able to get some peace and have a chance for a reset. and the character of the country matters, and being a good man matters. You know, I just want my sons to look at this. Look at this. You know, it's easy to do it the cheap way and get away with stuff, but it comes back around. It comes back around. And this is a good day for this country. I'm sorry for the people who lost. For them, it's not a good day. But for a whole lot of people, it's a good day.
And I think this
okay, stop the presses and give yourself clip of the day right off the bat.
It is. Let's just listen to it again. That's a very good point here. Let me crank up our audio a little bit and make sure we can hear her say it perfectly.
It has been a bad week for the Trump legal team that actually right now is holding a press conference that is so bananas we can't even bring it to you because it's just so full of BS.
And then over on MSNBC, Brian Williams, of course, picked up on the
By the way,
yeah,
I'm going to, just because it's so CNN, it's almost epitomizes everything that we've been doing for the last 10 years when it comes to this network. I'm going to give you a clip of the day for that bananas clip.
All you got to do is needle drop into the channels and you get stuff like this.
After Trump sent that initial tweet about Pence, attacking Pence, White House aides, including the White House press secretary and other top aides, tried to convince Trump to send out a more forceful tweet. In fact, I'm told by sources that there was a general consensus behind the scenes of this is a really bad situation. We've got to do something about this. And so they tried to convince Trump to send something else out to encourage people to be peaceful. And he did. He did about 14 minutes later when he said, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They're truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful. The defense pointed to that tweet. But here's the thing, Wolf. I'm told by sources behind the scenes, Trump did not want to add stay peaceful at the end of that tweet. He was very resistant to it. The aides
tried to convince
him to do so. They kept telling him how bad the situation was, how we needed to intervene. And so he reluctantly, begrudgingly added the stay peaceful at the end of that tweet. But he did not initially want to, and so it's worth raising as his attorney there on the floor tried to lay out the argument that he was trying to intervene and trying to create calm in the midst of the violence, Wolf.
Important point indeed.
Important point.
I'm going to do that all the time now.
Important. She makes the whole thing up. There's no evidence of this.
Important point indeed, John. Rolf.
Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. Can you see that juice?
This is an idiot woman who doesn't even know how. I mean, people burn people different. We bury people differently in other countries. Surprise, lady. And she's like, the body's burning. It's like Game of Thrones.
Warning to our viewers that you might find some of these images disturbing.
Well, Linda, just in this area alone, it's about the size of three quarters of a football pitch. There are close to 50 pyres burning. This crematorium believed it would probably process about 150 bodies today. There's estimated officials, about 600 people dying every day here in New Delhi. But the truth of the matter is the numbers must be much higher. And this crematorium,
the dead
actually have to join a queue before they can be seen.
This is funny.
Day here in New Delhi, but the truth of the matter is the numbers must be much higher in this.
Why?
Because
why must they be higher?
Because that's what they always say. They're lying. Don't focus on that. Focus on the funny part coming right after that.
People dying every day here in New Delhi, but the truth of the matter is the numbers must be much higher in this crematorium. The dead actually have to join a queue before they can be seen, before they can
the dead have to join a queue. Hey you zombie, get in line,
be given their last rites. People accompanying them have to take a ticket like you would going to see the doctor or getting a bank appointment. Wait their turn, and then they will be brought out to one of these locations. Ghee, which is a butter-like oil substance, poured on them, the wood piled on top, and they're given their last rites.
And so that's how they...
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a clip of the day because that clip is so weird.
Bingo, boom, shakalaka.
So this inflation demon is walking us down the path to this. So let's listen to more of this stupid product that these guys at NPR are delivering to scare the kids.
This is great.
It's November 1923. The economy here tanked after World War I. Social unrest was everywhere. But things were about to get even worse.
Oh, it's so cold here.
Oh, why don't you go warm yourself up by the fire over there?
Okay. Hey. Hey, kids. Who's there? Yes, hand me that stack of paper right there. Yes, sure, sure. Except, wait. Wait a second. Is this money?
God.
It used to be. It says 100 billion marks on it. But these bills are worth more as kindling than they are as currency. What happened? After the Great War, our government began printing paper money to pay reparations to the countries it invaded. It printed so much money that the price of everything rose astronomically. Last month, the inflation rate was almost 30,000%.
The most insulting fake German accent I've ever heard. That's insult. I mean, when I do it on this show, okay, we know it's a joke. That was just an insult.
Could you believe this?
Hard to.
Propaganda that they're trying to feed the American liberal that who listens to this garbage?
They actually listen to it.
Coincidence? I think not!
NPR story was didn't bring up the most interesting point at all. you'll see when we get to it. Let's play this. This is the real story.
Fireworks fill the sky as Barbados officially swears in Sandra Mason as its first ever president. The island is home to over 300,000 people.
We now turn our vessel's bow towards the new republic.
While the island will remain a member of the Commonwealth, this is the first time in almost three decades that a realm has removed Queen Elizabeth as head of state. Despite the official celebration, British Member of Parliament Tom Tugendhat has accused China of playing a large role in Barbados' decision. He said Beijing is using investments to gain leverage and undermine the UK's status as a key partner with Caribbean nations. In recent years, Barbados has reportedly embraced more than $600 million in funding from China for projects as part of Beijing's Belt and Road Initiative.
Okay, wow. This is the producer of The Doctors, very famous TV show in America. I think it's almost daily at this point. It's always been daily?
I'm pretty sure it's a daily show that competes with Dr. Oz.
And he had the story. He had audio tape. He had the documents. He had the whistleblower. He had everything good to go. And then this.
In the fall of last year, I got a call from an inside source who told me that in 2 weeks, there's going to be a whistleblower from the CDC who is going to come out and say that the CDC had committed fraud on the MMR study and that they knew that vaccines were actually causing autism. I mean, that's a huge story. Unfortunately, it was a story I would not be able to tell on a medical talk show because a lot of our funding was coming from the pharmaceutical industry. And we were also very good friends with the CDC who had appeared on our show many, many times. But I knew that once this story broke, 2 weeks later, that the mainstream news media would pick it up. Fox would be on it. CNN would be on it. MSNBC. And we're talking about the biggest medical story in the last decade or two, at least. So that 2 weeks came.
I saw the video that was posted by Andrew Wakefield and Brian Hooker, and I heard the words of William Thompson and his confession.
Oh, my God, I cannot believe we did what we did. But we did. It's all there. It's all there.
And I watched the blogosphere go crazy. Tweets, Facebook, social media, everybody talking about it. But not one mainstream media source went anywhere near the story. In fact, on CNN, someone put the story up on iReport, and CNN took it down. And at that moment, I realized, wait a minute. Not only is my medical talk show being produced by the pharmaceutical industry, all of television is.
Yes! Yeah. Yes!
Por la mañana!
Did you ever look at something going on in the news and go, you know what the situation needs? Go Barack Obama.
I've said this before. People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, You know what? If I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, mm-hmm. looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that because I found the work fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. They do like putting it right in their face, don't they?
You know, I never heard this before. I want you to take the clip of the day.
Yay!
Have you heard about the Sackler family, this lawsuit, and what's happened out of it?
Yes.
What came of it?
Yes, I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, you mentioned it. You're right. It's disgusting.
This is the medical tyranny of the biosecurity state, Big Pharma. They win. They win, they win, they win every single time.
Well, here it is.
The bankruptcy plan for the maker of OxyContin, Purdue Pharma, cleared a major hurdle today. If it wins final approval from the company's creditors, the settlement could mean billions of dollars in aid for communities devastated by the opioid crisis. It also would bring members of the Sackler family a big step closer to their goal of winning immunity from future opioid lawsuits for themselves and their financial empire. NPR addiction correspondent Brian Mann is here. Hey, Brian.
I want to be an NPR addiction correspondent. That sounds like a great job.
Hey, Mary Louise.
All right, so what are the contours of this? What exactly happened this afternoon?
Yeah, so there have been these incredibly high-stakes negotiations, and as you mentioned, there are billions of dollars at stake. So late today, federal bankruptcy judge Robert Drain here in New York approved the deal's broad terms, allowing it to move forward, a big milestone. Under this plan, the Sacklers will give up control of Purdue Pharma, though members of the family maintain they did nothing wrong. They have agreed to pay more than $4 billion from their private fortunes. Now, this isn't the final finish line, but it's very close, and now it will go to a vote by hundreds of thousands of creditors who say they were harmed by OxyContin. We really could see a final resolution of this landmark case by this summer.
Hmm. Now, what does this mean for the hundreds of civil lawsuits that some members of the family have faced, alleging they played a personal role in the crisis? I will note the Sacklers deny those allegations, but what happens if this deal is finalized? What happens to those cases?
Yeah, this is controversial. Those lawsuits would be stopped dead in their tracks. Under the deal, the Sacklers would walk away from the opioid crisis with a clean slate legally. And we've also learned from these court documents that this immunity would extend to literally hundreds of other companies, trusts, and consultants. None of those entities have declared bankruptcy, but using a rare and again, controversial provision of bankruptcy law, this deal would allow all of those folks to gain protections from lawsuits without actually filing for bankruptcy.
Wow! Woo! How does that work? So you can get the protection of your supplier without actually filing for bankruptcy yourself.
Yeah.
This is beautiful.
It's a scam of scams. And the Sacklers are off the hook. They should be in jail.
Yeah.
They paid $4 billion in fines. And so they have, what, $10 billion left?
Hey, I'm going to give
you... So that's no big deal.
I'm going to give you a clip of the day for that. If only I could hit my machine with my finger. That seems to be broken. So
it's estimated that close to 3 million people in the U.S. identify as Russian American, about 900,000 of whom speak Russian at home. Many left the country to escape the iron-fisted authoritarianism that Putin has steadily reestablished. Liana Zazulin was born in the U.S. to Russian-speaking parents. She grew up surrounded by fellow emigres, and that made her acutely aware of the complicated relationship many of those who left maintained with their home country.
The older generation of my grandparents nursed what we thought were these idealistic, impossible hopes of returning to a Russia post-communism that would be free. But most of the time, the view of the Soviet Union was that it was a hostile country where religion was persecuted and that our family was lucky to escape. But there were definitely people who thought that someday communism would fall and a certain amount of freedom would return to Russia and that we could return.
Zazulin is an attorney and international legal specialist who has consulted for the World Bank and others. She lived and worked in Russia following the fall of the Soviet Union.
I worked on a U.S. government-funded legal reform project.
Mm.
It's important to understand that the United States helped support a great deal of reform in Russia, like rewriting the civil code, setting up a central bank, setting up a Securities and Exchange Commission. Those were all American-supported efforts to the Yeltsin government to help them reform and enter the modern world economy. And we all thought that Russia might be a quote-unquote normal country, as did many of my Russian-speaking colleagues in Russia, many of whom I'm still really good friends with. We thought that we were part of a process of normalizing. Not as free as the United States, but, you know, the churches are open and the economy is going well. And for people like that, this has caused, I know several people for whom it's a total upside down paradigm shift. They've now realized that he's really, really evil.
One thing that's been shocking to some people, frankly, is the emergence of pro-Putin defenders in the conservative media and even in the Republican Party, and the former president being chief among them, right? And so I was wondering if you have been seeing that in your community, and are there people who think that what Putin is doing is acceptable or even right? And if so, why?
There are a few people who are vocal about thinking that what Putin is doing is acceptable. There are several reasons for that. Partly they are Trump supporters.
Oh, man. All right. Child abuse, ABC, you know, remember, it's the Disney Corporation, so these guys know about that stuff.
Next, a little girl lifting spirits on a dark day.
Our crews covering the January 6th anniversary on Capitol Hill met Chloe Chen. The five-year-old spent the day handing out candy bars to Capitol police officers. Chloe says she wanted to thank the officers for saving democracy.
We're getting candy bars.
Yeah.
For is a thank you, because they save our democracy. So we really appreciate that for making a sacrifice so big that we want to give out candy bars.
Chloe used her own allowance money to buy the candy. I think she needs a raise.
Her little voice, so cute. Well, next.
Sickening.
Give that clip of the day.
Sickening. These people are sick.
It's sickening. Clip of the day.
Boom shakalaka. Boom shakalaka.
How to marginalize someone who may actually be right about something, just do the following.
So pro-Trump attorneys Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell, who constantly push the most deranged conspiracy theories, which is saying something, because there's a spectrum of them.
I mean, and if you listen to No Agenda Show, those cats aren't anywhere if you compare it to these guys.
They held one of these Stop the Steal rallies this week in Georgia. Again, this is all based on nonsense. And they actually...
Wait a minute. Point of order. Point of personal privilege. You cannot say for weeks baseless claims and then say it's based on nonsense. It's either baseless or not, Jake Tapper.
Again, this is all based on nonsense. And they actually were discouraging Georgia Republicans from voting at all in the runoffs on January 5th. Take a listen.
I think I would encourage all Georgians to make it known that you will not vote at all until your vote is secure.
They have not earned your vote. Don't you give it to them. Why would you go back and vote in another rigged election, for God's sakes?
Now, again, as a factual matter, the vote was secure and is secure by all evidence, and it was not rigged. So what they're saying is not true.
There you go.
Come to the show, my support, by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda.
Well, that was pretty amazing.
Slow clap. Slow clap.
It's funny because, I mean, some of those clips are just terrific clips. We should probably use them again.
This, you know, one of these days, I'll categorize stuff so we can do that with clip of the day. I need the full list. I know he gave it to us. We need the full list. And I wish there was a way that we could, you know, here's a thought. For all of these smart techno experts out there, would it not be possible to use your spiffy AIML, artificial intelligence machine learning, to go through every single MP3 that No Agenda has produced and have in your AI the waveform for clip of the day jingle. That way we could pull them all out.
That's interesting.
At the comic strip bloggers.
Well, I think if you really want to do it,
is a guy that can do it right. That. Yeah.
The AI should go look at the clip, decipher it in AI, and then categorize it. When's that day coming, Mr. AI folk? Hey,
I'll just take the AI for the clips of the day just to do more back to 2011. Let's get back to it. Another about another 45 minutes to an hour left on this. Again, thank you to Circumference for doing this for us. Now, we don't have a donation segment at this point.
Because, I should mention, yes, we do have to mention that, you know, donations are we're not stopping the donations. We're just pushing off the credits to a future show, probably the Thursday show, in fact, which will be coming up. So you'll get all your credits and everything. But it'll be listed and credited, and we do need the donations because this is a continuous expense that we have to do this show. So don't think twice about that, and we'll look forward to giving you all the credit in the world on the next show.
And now back to the best of the clip of the day.
Clip of the day.
Listen to how they want, and these are celebrities. None of whom we know, not all celebrities, a couple of them are doctors. You know, it's your typical thing. We've seen it here, but this is specifically targeted towards UK ethnic minorities, Muslims, and here we go. And the music is great.
Hello, namaste. Satkriyakal. Assalamu alaikum. This past year has been challenging for us all, with many of us losing our loved ones.
But we will be reunited with our friends and family. All we have to do is just take the vaccine.
Many in our community.
So just so you know, there's nothing else. Hey, all you got to do is just take the vaccine.
All we have to do is just take the vaccine.
Many in our community have suffered the most, largely due to our efforts on the front line at the NHS or as key workers.
Looking after others and serving our community is what we do. It's how we've been brought up.
This is interesting because it's, you know, this talking about Indians and Pakistanis specifically. They're very racist, like they're the only doctors.
That's why we have such immense pride when a family member becomes a doctor or a nurse. We have so much respect for them. They need our respect now more than ever.
Today, those doctors and scientists have found us a way forward. A COVID-19 vaccine that will help save lives.
There is no scientific evidence to suggest that the vaccine will work differently for people from ethnic minorities.
In fact...
Whoa! This I don't understand. There's no sign that this will work differently for ethnic minorities. However, in the United States, we always hear that black and brown people are the ones that are disproportionately affected. So only American black and brown people?
Definitely not African black and brown people.
For people from ethnic minorities.
In fact, the scientists who developed one of the most widely used vaccines are Muslim.
Oh. The vaccine does not include pork or any material of fetal or animal origin.
The vaccine
what?
Does not...
Yeah, just so you know.
Is this a joke?
No, this is...
Are you playing a parody?
No, and that pill machine was also real. No, I know it sounds crazy, but this is not a parody. And there's no pork in the vaccine.
Use vaccines are Muslim.
The vaccine does not include pork or any material of fetal or animal origin.
The vaccine does not contain the virus itself, only harmless elements from it.
Taking the vaccine is the only way to boost your immunity against COVID for you and your loved ones.
Okay, lie. An outright lie. Taking the COVID vaccine is the only way to boost your immune system? Are you kidding me now? That's a lie.
The vaccine does not include pork or any material of fetal or animal origin.
The vaccine does not contain the virus itself, only harmless elements from it.
Taking the vaccine is the only way to boost your immunity against COVID for you and your loved ones.
Bullshit.
The vaccine was available quickly because of a global effort.
Because huge funds were made available by governments around the world.
Oh, who developed these vaccines? I mean, not that I want us to take credit for it, but please,
You're telling me now that We Are the World did this, the World Economic Forum, that the World Health Organization, that they did it only because we put all our money together? Really? Really?
So something that would normally take years took just months.
It's very, very rare for vaccines to have a long-term side effect.
Very, very rare for vaccines to have long-term side. Don't worry. Don't look over there.
What we do know is that COVID-19's long-term implications are deadly.
The COVID-19 vaccines have gone through the same strict processes and regulations as other vaccines, such as...
Lies!
...for measles, mumps, rubella, and TB.
Now, that is just an outright lie. It's not an approved vaccine. And you're saying it's gone through the same stringent trials, which would include long-term trials, animal trials? These people are lying.
There's no...
That is an out-and-out lie.
Outright lie.
This is put on all the networks in the UK. The UK should be ashamed of itself for putting this kind of dreck on the air.
It's unconscionable.
It's blatant lies.
Yeah. It's a lie. This is absolute...
Official government lies. There it is. There's your official government lies right there.
There's those Curry and Dvorak, man, picking little truths to create a narrative.
Implications.
Who wrote a note in that got your goat?
No, it wasn't about us at all, actually. But you know that's what's being... That's okay, Reddit.
The COVID-19 vaccines have gone through the same strict processes and regulations as other vaccines, such as for measles, mumps, rubella, and TB.
There is no chip or tracker in the vaccine to keep watching where you go. Your mobile phone actually does a much better job of that.
I love that throwaway line from the government. And by the way, you know, we're not tracking you through the vaccine. We got you. We got you on your cell phone.
There is no chip or tracker in the vaccine to keep watching where you go. Your mobile phone actually does a much better job of that.
Pregnant women are not excluded from the vaccine, but should discuss their case with a doctor.
There's also no evidence to suggest the vaccine affects fertility.
Herd immunity is not an option, as many millions will need to be infected.
Okay, hold on a second. Herd immunity is not an option. Isn't that the whole point of vaccinations, to achieve herd immunity?
This is unbelievable.
No, it's true.
Affects fertility.
Herd immunity is not an option, as many millions will need to be infected, causing a disastrous number of deaths.
The vaccine does not change or damage our DNA. Not taking the vaccine can damage us more.
Three of my aunties and one of my uncles have had the vaccine.
My mom has had the vaccine.
My dad...
So then they just go into a whole long thing about how they're all groovy, they've all been vaxxed. This is riddled with lies. Nice. But there you go.
Well, a couple of things. One, first of all, I think that clip is a long clip. And two, I think you should get clip of the day for it.
Oh, I guess it's okay. And here's the most pertinent thing the doctor said about how things are being communicated through the media.
Elsewhere, there is a trusted news initiative, which is very important for Americans to understand. This was announced December 10th. And this is a coalition of all the major media and government stakeholders in vaccination, where they are not going to allow any negative information on vaccines to get into the popular media because they're concerned about vaccine hesitancy. That if Americans got any type of fair balance on safety events, so they simply wouldn't come forward voluntarily and get the vaccine. So the Trusted News Initiative is really troublesome because we're now at record numbers of deaths.
So, yeah, it's really troublesome. It's not the only thing that's going on, my friend. And now let's go to the...
By the way, well, who is that again?
Dr. Peter McCullough.
That's a great clip. I'm going to give you a clip of the day for that one. You have to listen. It's just like it's like water coming off of a duck. Ducks back listening to Chuck Todd ask this question, because I always thought the New World Order was some sort of a conspiracy or something screwy. Listen to this question the way he asks it.
You heard Secretary Blinken essentially say, look, sanctions relief could happen. It all depends on the behavior of Russia. Can we really live in a world where Putin's let back into the New World Order?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Coincidence? I think not.
She said it point blank to the New York Times. She thinks that a House member or a senator was going to get killed. Mm. And that is how amped up the rhetoric is. We see this. We see what social media companies amplify this. We know the incentive structure in order to get clicks and get attention seems to be to play to these algorithms, which only seems to feed more of this hate. And look, everything we're learning about Paul Pelosi attacker seems to be somebody who was very online and seemed to absorb all of these conspiracy theories that we know stem from essentially not necessarily one person, but certainly one person has helped give credibility to some of these conspiracy theories, and that's Donald Trump.
All right!
Oh! There it is!
Yes! All right. You win.
House Bill 1927, which says if you're 21 years of age, you can carry a gun, open or concealed carry, nothing needed. No paperwork, no test, no nothing. Because, you know, otherwise it's a racist policy. And this is now being fought by the Texas Democrats with stuff like this.
That 21-year-old pimp, that 21-year-old trafficker who is not yet a convicted felon, roll on in to any place you want and buy a gun under this provision and walk around in whatever way you want. No training, no understanding, Wild West pimp style. That's what this bill does. And then that pimp can roll into whatever small businesses in your community with their stable of girls, and they can flaunt it. Wild West pimp style.
I hope she realizes that using the term pimp is completely racist.
She's a racist. The irony of her complaining is not lost on us.
No, it's beautiful.
It's okay, you know, if you, for everything else, no, let them vote, whoever you are. But yeah, now I agree in principle that to get these, I think your gun safety is important. I think people need to take some training. I've never found that to be objectionable. I don't see any reason for it. They used to teach that sort of thing in high school in the United States. People forget that.
Yeah.
I mean, half our listeners don't know this. You used to have gun clubs in high schools in the United States.
You bring your rifle to school.
And yes,
you put it in the locker.
Can you imagine?
It was safe and you had gun safety and you learned how to use everything. And it was,
you learned how to shoot and you learned how to target shoot and all the rest.
Yeah.
But no, that's all been pushed out and to the point where, you know, we have some ludicrous situations now like this.
That is why there is so much fear in the country about what this means for Roe, because it didn't stop Texas. And the idea of pitting neighbors against each other, colleagues snitching on each other because someone is desperately trying to safeguard their health and perhaps the health of their unborn child. This is just, it's beyond Handmaid's Tale.
Woo!
Wow, you got it.
He went to the United Nations Food Systems pre-summit in Rome. And he came back with the following report about your food.
United Nations Food Systems pre-summit last week in Rome recommended a dietary limit of 14 grams of red meat per person per day. That's one bite. As a servant to the people of Queensland and Australia, I'm appalled. And I'll explain how this is an attack on our farmers and on every Australian.
Toilet green.
The pre-summit recommended the introduction of a worldwide environmental tax on meat of $1.60 per kilo for cattle grazing on pasture, yet not for cattle raised in intensive feedlots. That distinction reflects the influence of large multinational feedlot operators and the lack of influence that family farms have in the UN's eyes. As my colleague, Bob Catter, rightly pointed out, this UN measure will take 2.4 billion kilos of protein off the market, starving 80 million people of protein. Yes, go the UN! The third recommendation of the food systems pre-summit is to move food production within reach of population centres and produce whatever protein and nutrition is possible in that region.
Bugs!
It's called short-chain food supply. We did that 200 years ago. People starved. Nutrition was poor. Life expectancy was less than half what we enjoy today. Then along came long-chain food supply, allowing countries like Australia to grow crops to feed and clothe those in need. world hunger fell to less than 10%. The only reason there are still areas of poverty and hunger in 2021 is because of war and civil unrest. You know, the things that the United Nations were supposed to solve. World peace has eluded the UN, yet cows have not. The United Nations is proposing to eliminate global food chains that have brought good food to the world for hundreds of years.
See, I believe they're going to do it. I really think so.
I'm going to give you a clip of the day for that's a great clip.
I think that sounds pretty good.
Well, let's finish with that.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to play the jingle again.
Dogs are people, too.
Jiminy started with an idea. What if we could reduce our dog's carbon paw print? Not just this dog, but all 90 million that live in the U.S. Why not? We're making changes for ourselves and the rest of our family. It makes sense that we'd want to include our furry kids as we rethink how we do things. We realized that the biggest problem is the 36 billion pounds of protein that our pups are eating each year. It's coming from traditional sources like cow and chicken. Not sustainable and, sadly, rarely humane. So, at Jiminy's, we replaced that traditional animal protein with cricket protein.
I mean, come on, man. It's got everything in there, doesn't it? It's got global warming.
Not only that, but
fur babies.
The paw print, the carbon paw print.
Oh, my gosh. Can you see that juice?
But listen to this is
what's wrong with Canada?
This is one of the European members of parliament, the DEP, I think. Just this is the only one that I really like the translation off of.
Based on Article 195.
It wasn't even a translation. It was the real thing.
Out that it would have been more appropriate for Mr. Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, to address this House according to Article 144, an article which was specifically designed to debate violations of human rights, democracy, and the rule of law, which is clearly the case with Mr. Trudeau. Then again, a Prime Minister who openly admires the Chinese basic dictatorship, who tramples on fundamental rights by persecuting and criminalizing his own citizens as terrorists just because they dared to stand up to his perverted concept of democracy should not be allowed to speak in this House at all. Mr. Trudeau, you are a disgrace for any democracy. Please spare us your presence. Thank you.
Whoa, you got butt slammed.
Clip of the day.
It could withstand a court challenge. You don't have an absolute right to own private property in Canada.
And believe me, he says you don't have the absolute right to own private property in Canada.
I'm not going to argue now, but after playing it over and over.
Hold on, let's finish the clip.
In Canada, there are steps that are taken when expropriations happen at whatever level of government, and we'll be sure to stay within those boundaries.
Well, that fits right into the WEF, and you won't own anything because you don't.
And you'll be happy. You'll be very happy about it. Yeah, I find that that wasn't an that interesting was, one.
Okay. You get the clip of the day.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. In fact, it is a very simple resolution, which the gentleman has just mostly explained. I would, Mr. Speaker, like to take a moment to thank Chairman Fassell and Mr. Broomfield, Mr. Yatron and Mr. B. Ryder, the chair and ranking member of the subcommittee, and the members of the Foreign Affairs Committee for their assistance in expediting consideration of this legislation. The Earth Summit Environmental Leadership Act, as this is known, presents us with an opportunity to follow up on the important work of the Earth Summit to develop its blueprint, Agenda 21, for global environmental action. HCON Res 353 outlines a comprehensive national strategy for sustainable development in accordance with the principles of Agenda 21 to be coordinated under the leadership of a specific office and at the direction of a high-level government official. The resolution also urges the United States to identify and initiate further agreements to protect the global environment and to support the creation of a high-level United Nations Sustainable Development Commission headed by an Undersecretary General. Third and lastly, the president is urged to report to Congress on the progress made on the with this action. Yes. H. Conres 353 is supported by the administration. I have been in contact with the appropriate offices of the State Department and have incorporated their suggestions into the resolution. The 71 co-sponsors in this, of this measure include one half the members of the Foreign Affairs Committee and all of the House delegates to the Earth Summit. It is also supported by the major United States non-governmental organizations concerned with the environmental issues.
Yeah. I did not know that there was so much discussion about Agenda 2021 and the Sustainable Development Goals in 1992.
Yeah.
Bingo, boom, shakalaka.
And they edited Bill right into her announcement. She is not, he is on level with the president of the EU.
The European Green Deal is our blueprint for Europe to become the first climate neutral continent by 2050. It strives for systemic change and modernization across our economy, our societies, and industry. Of course, energy transition is at its heart, and this is why I warmly welcome the opportunity to join forces with Breakthrough Energy.
I am excited to announce a new partnership between Breakthrough Energy and the European Commission. I've created Breakthrough Energy Catalyst, a first-of-its-kind innovative finance vehicle designed to rapidly commercialize critical climate-smart technologies. To succeed in preventing the climate crisis, the world will need a new approach to building global industries. This is the greatest opportunity for innovation the world has ever seen.
The Catalyst program is targeting the technologies we need for Europe to become carbon neutral. We want to deploy InvestEU with the European Investment Bank and, I hope, national financial partners. And on top, InvestEU allows member states to mobilize funds, for example, from EU programs like Next Generation EU. In Europe, we're lucky to have a wealth of scientists and innovators leading the way to decarbonization. We just need to help them to bring their ideas to the market.
Europe will be a strong partner because of its early and consistent commitment to climate.
We have to act bold and fast. And together, we can achieve our green goals to the benefit of people and businesses.
So,
all right, wait. You're going to get the piece of shit clip of the day for that one.
But resist, we much.
And this has got to be my favorite story since we talk about this a lot on the show.
Dogs are people, too.
You think you got amygdala problems?
Separation anxiety is a problem for over 13 million dogs in the U.S. Signs of anxiety can start when the owner is getting ready to leave home and typically worsen after the owner has left. Excessive vocalizations, such as barking, howling, and whining, potty accidents, destruction of property, or self-harm, even attempts to escape through doors or windows, are all signs of separation anxiety. As the fight or flight center, the amygdala is the area in the brain responsible for producing fear and emotional responses, which express themselves as the signs and symptoms of anxiety. An anxious brain is out of balance, with overactive brain cells that produce harmful substances causing inflammation and cell death instead of beneficial substances that reduce inflammation and protect the cells. Calmer Canine is an anxiety treatment device made by Assisi Animal Health.
Now listen to this.
It's based on FDA-clear technology used in people. Working at the cellular level, it sends targeted, pulsed, electromagnetic, or TPEMF signals to the brain to increase the production of nitric oxide, which helps to reduce inflammation. These TPEMF signals were specifically developed by a team of veterinarians and neurobiologists to target the anxiety center in the brain. They are invisible and sensation-free. The signals also cause the neural cells to produce feel-good substances, such as serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins.
Yay! You know, Donna Brazile, who for a while there, she was running the DNC. She was on CNN. Then she got caught smuggling the questions to Hillary Clinton. She got
fired, and then Fox hired her. Listen to her response as she comes back from Dana.
With a lot of elation for the 80 million that voted for Biden, and terrible distress for those who voted for President Trump. But again, you know, the country was founded on ideas. It was not founded on one person or one man. And if we get back to our principles, we get back to those ideals, remember to pray together and hold each other up, we'll be all right.
I like that message. Thank you, Dana. Do we still have Donna for one final comment?
Yes.
Donna,
and you
Brazil,
know, Dana,
on.
I'm here. Dana's so right. We're resilient.
Truth wants to come out, anybody?
So
Dana is so white. How does that happen? How do you mess up Dana so right with Dana so white? You got to be thinking something like that. Embarrassing.
Dana is so white. I'm going to give you a clip of the day for that one.
The programming, to some degree, is working very well. And I have a gaffe here, 12 seconds, to show you how incredibly powerful the programming is. This is a Republican strategist, and she's on CNN. Alice Stewart, here's what she's saying.
I think it has not been good for the former president. I think we've made a case that he was responsible for 9/11, or January 6th. He should not have been pushing the election lies.
It works. It just works.
Seth Rogen is now saying it's white supremacists
what?
Who are responsible for the bad reviews.
Wow. Do you have a clip of that, too?
No, I don't have a clip of that, but let's listen to the beginning. This is the beginning of the first episode. Just listen. How long is this thing?
136.
It's 136. It's short, but it is just, it's deplorable. Just, and again, this is not safe for work. So if you don't, you might want to turn the sound down or something. Here we go.
All right, good job, guys. Make sure those are stacked in order of continence. And keep the puppies away from the kittens and the kittens away from the goldfish. And make sure the reptiles, sweet American Jesus, this lizard is dead. Come on, guys. It's Christmas fucking Eve. There's no time for amateur hour here. Now get another one before Tiffany Chang from Tallahassee loses her shit.
Halloween? Bullshit. Easter? Fuck that stupid bunny. May Day? What the fuck is May Day? This is the big one. The X Games. Excalibur. It's Xmas, baby. And that X is for extra, extraordinary.
Santa chose me as his successor because I know how to run this place and get the best out of you guys. And I think you guys are the best. You come from a long line of distinguished reindeer who have performed valiantly on Christmas Eve for hundreds of years. Dasher. Comet. Blitzen. And Junior, the son of the greatest of them all, fashionably late.
Let me just get right up front here in the driver's seat. Who's ready to smell Junior's ass tonight?
Now let's get those fucking kids their presents in record time this year. Lady Candy, my second in command. I'd be nothing without you. You are a fucking rock star. After tonight, I insist that you go to a hotel room and trash it.
I will do it. I will drug groupies. I will shit on the bed. I will fuck a baby shark and bite its head off. Woo!
Wow. This is good. In fact, that, my friend, has deserved you a coveted clip of the day.
Well, let's go to the candidate from Haiti.
Are you talking about a specific tweet?
Can I have the question again?
You want to bring down inflation, let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share.
Look, you know, we have talked about this past year, about making sure that the wealthiest among us are paying their fair share. And that is important to do, and that is something that, the president has been working on every day when we talk about inflation and lowering costs. And so it's it's very important that, you know, as we're seeing costs rise, as we're talking about how to, you know, build an America that's safe, that's equal for everyone, and doesn't leave anyone behind, that is an important part of that as well.
But how does raising taxes on corporations lower the cost of gas, the cost of a used car, the cost of food for everyday Americans?
So, look, I think we encourage those who have done very well, right, especially those who care about climate change, to support a fair tax code that doesn't change, that doesn't charge manufacturers, workers, cops, builders a higher percentage of their earnings, that the most fortunate people in our nation, and not let that stand in the way of reducing energy costs and fighting this existential problem, if you think about that as an example, and to support basic collective bargaining rights as well, right? That's also important. But without having a fair tax code, which is what I'm talking about, then all the manufacturing workers, cops, you know, it's not fair for them to have to pay higher taxes than the folks that who are not paying taxes at all.
What does that have to do with inflation? The president said, "You want to bring down inflation? Let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share." Jeff Bezos came out and tweeted about that. He said the newly created disinformation board should review this tweet. Would you be okay with that?
Look, it's not a huge mystery why one of the wealthiest individuals on earth, right, opposes
Elon.
This economic agenda that is for the middle class, that cuts some of the biggest costs families face, fights inflation for the long haul, right? And that's what we're talking about. That's why we're talking about lowering inflation here, and adds to the historic deficit reduction the president is achieving by asking the richest taxpayers and corporations to pay their fair share. That is what we're talking about.
Okay, you get clip of the day for bringing that dumb shit on board.
In the morning.
He was reading Karl Marx, Herbert Marcuse, and some third author. These are all left-wing communists.
Oh, okay.
And he was reading this material so he could hook up with all these crazy socialist women that he ran into in college.
That's like these days you wear a pussy hat. Is that basically the idea?
Yeah, same exact thing.
Fanon and Gwendolyn Brooks to get basically to hook up with women.
Oh, well.
Okay. Looking back, it's embarrassing to recognize the degree to which my intellectual curiosity those first 2 years of college paralleled the interests of various women I was attempting to get to. No. Marx and Marcuse, so I had something to say to the long-legged socialist who lived in my dorm. Fanon and Gwendolyn Brooks were the smooth-skinned sociology major who never gave me a second look. Foucault and Wolf for the ethereal bisexual who wore mostly black.
Wow. She's lying. There's no way.
Think?
There's no way that she celebrated Kwanzaa with the elders in Scandinavia with her Indian mother, her Jamaican dad. There's no way.
Light the candles.
No, there's no way.
No, there's no way. Hold on. Let's listen to this. What she did. Light the candles
on the carpet, and the elders would sit in chairs, and we would light the candles, and of course afterwards have a beautiful meal. And of course there was always the discussion of the seven principles.
Ah.
And my favorite, I have to tell you, was always the one about self-determination, Kuji Chagaliya. And you know, essentially it's about, you know, it's about be and do. Be the person you want to be and do the things you want to do and do the things that need to be done. It's about not letting anyone write our future for us, but instead going out and writing it for ourselves. And that principle motivates me today as we seek to confront the challenges facing our country and to build a brighter future for all Americans. So to everyone who is celebrating, happy Kwanzaa from our family to yours.
So what I thought was good is she pulled in the Kuji Chaka Kujalada Jumanji bit, which is one of the seven principles. It's number two. Which is, how disgusting is this? Self-determination to define and name ourselves. That you could not get closer to cultural appropriation. To define and name myself as a Kwanzaa celebrator is saying you are an African-American, an American descendant of slavery, as that's where this all stems. Not from some African religious tribal ceremony where the elders would sit on the carpet with him and tell stories. Lie. You liar.
Unbelievable.
Liar.
This is unbelievable. I'm going to give you a clip of the day.
So they brought in Yamiche, and, you know, I think that Central Casting did us a solid. Some people just love her.
Let me see if I can sneak Tommy from Walnut Creek in. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, my gosh. Yamiche Alexander, you're my hero.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
An absolute super fan. I'm a regular old 54-year-old suburban dad, daughters who I tell to watch all the time. One of them might be a photojournalist one day. And, yeah, the way you stood calm in front of 45 and kept your professionalism was just amazing. I have a t-shirt that has your sepia picture on it with a true superhero, thing on it. And just watching you and Judy and Lisa and Amy and Tamara is just inspiring. So, yeah, it's just absolute love. Thank you for bringing trueness to the world of media, because we've just really suffered through, some times when that hasn't been it, and you're an absolute lighthouse of hope.
A lighthouse of hope.
Okay, I had to give you a clip of the day for digging that crap up.
As a consequence of mass formation, people do not get egoistic at all. Rather, to the contrary, mass formation focuses your attention so much on one point that you can take everything away of people, their psychological and physical well-being, their material well-being. You can take it away and they will even not notice it. And that's one of the major consequences of mass formation. And it's exactly the same as hypnosis, as classical hypnosis. When during hypnosis someone's attention is focused on one point, you can cut in his flesh. The person will not notice it. And that is what happens all the time when hypnosis is used as a kind of anesthesia during surgical operations. A rather simple hypnotic procedure is sufficient to make people completely insensitive to pain. Another consequence that is very typical for totalitarian states is that people become radically intolerant for dissonant voices. And so,
Twitter.
Because if someone tells another story, or if someone claims that the official story is wrong, then this person threatens to wake the people up, and they will get angry because they are confronted with the initial anxiety and the initial psychological discontent. And so, they direct all their aggression at these dissonant voices, at the other voices. And at the same time, they are radically tolerant for their leaders, for the people who pronounce the mainstream narrative. These people can actually cheat and lie and manipulate and do everything they want. They will always be forgiven by the crowd because the crowd seems to think that they do it for their own sake. And that's also part of the mechanism of mass formation.
This is the most interesting thing.
If there is one difference between mass formation and totalitarianism, because the two are almost identical, on the one hand, and classical hypnosis on the other hand, then it is that while in classical hypnosis, the one who hypnotizes is awake, his field of attention is not narrowed down. In mass formation and in totalitarianism, the field of attention of the leaders of the masses, of the totalitarian leaders, is usually even narrower than the field of attention of the population. Mm-hmm. What doesn't take that, meaning that the totalitarian leaders and the leaders of the masses usually really believe in the ideology according to which they try to organize society. So they are convinced, for instance, of transhumanism. They are convinced of mechanistic materialism and so on. They are convinced of the ideology. They are convinced that this ideology will bring people in a kind of artificial paradise, because that's something that is common to all kinds of totalitarianism. the leaders of the masses and the totalitarian leaders, always, said Gustave Le Bon and said Hannah Arendt, they are really deeply convinced of the ideology.
We are effed.
I want to talk more about what's at the heart of the standoff between the U.S. and Russia. It's a tension that's existed for decades. How much influence should the West have in Eastern Europe? This tension centers on NATO because the powerful military alliance was formed after World War II in part to serve as protection against the former Soviet Union.
Very breathy. I thought that was its only reason.
Yeah, pretty much. But here's another one of these usage things I like to bitch about.
Mm-hmm.
It did not form to protect the Europeans against the former Soviet Union. It formed to protect them against the Soviet Union.
Say again?
She said that NATO in 1947, let's say it's about the time of its formation, was formed to protect Europe against the former Soviet Union. It wasn't formed to protect against the former Soviet Union.
Soviet Union. Yeah.
Yeah. At the time, it wasn't the former Soviet Union.
It was the Soviet Union.
So what you do when you use former, it makes it sound as though it was formed to protect the Europeans against Russia.
Good catch.
I mean, it's a subtle thing.
Good catch. Good catch.
The guy's interviewing you, say, well, what is the problem here? Like, what are you really protesting? Because there's no convoy. And, well, listen to this.
If you're going to protest something as nebulous as freedom, then you can't encroach on others.
I'm not sure I understand. Is nebulous as freedom?
The concept of a nebulous freedom. They don't have a specific title, a specific reason for being here. They're all over the place, and all they're doing is suppressing Ottawa residents, Ottawa businesses. We are being harassed and held hostage for their supposed encroachments on freedom. What does a single fucking white man have to say to anybody about a bodily autonomy freedom?
I'm not sure what race has to do with it.
I didn't say anything about race.
You said a white man.
Single white man, sure, race.
Okay, so, I mean, what does race have to do with it? When I look at people that are gathering here today, it's right across the multi-diverse spectrum.
No more comments.
Oh, okay, then. Well, by the way, when it says convoy, go home, didn't the convoy go home in February?
They called it a convoy? It's a convoy.
You mean this gathering here? Is that a convoy?
Please go away.
Okay.
No more comments.
Now, this is the best part.
It just seems to
be. No more comments.
Okay.
No more comments.
You can't articulate.
No more comments.
Wow.
No more comments.
Have I triggered you?
No more comments. No more comments. No more comments. No more comments.
It's like interviewing a
soda machine.
Soda doesn't come
out. No more comments.
She just.
No more comments.
This is derangement, John.
It's like a
reclaiming my time.
Yep.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
She's freaking out.
No more comments. Walk away. No more comments. Back away. No more comments. No more comments.
No
more comments. No more comments.
I feel bad.
No,
I feel bad, man. This woman.
Man, clip of the day. Clip of the day.
Oh, thank you so much.
Actually, as a white parent. As a parent with privilege, because all the privileges and resources that are attached to my son go with him.
And what are those?
Wow. I think white privilege means you have vocal fry.
Well, she has vocal fry.
She does.
She's very full of herself, woman. But let's see what is white privilege to her, because I've been wanting to know.
And what are those?
A loudmouthed mother who will raise hell. Someone who knows how to write a letter to a politician.
What?
Someone who knows how to call up an agency and ask questions or send emails and file complaints. Someone who is home enough so that my son goes to school every day well rested, well fed, and feeling loved.
Shut up, slave.
So Mom, Dad, Kevin, Carrie, Brendan, I just want you to know I love you more than you will ever know. I could not have asked for a better family. What you cannot comprehend is that we have been attacked by this weapon our entire lives, and the attack against me personally is one of the most vicious attacks a human being has ever faced. I have tolerated the most inhumane torture in hopes that the FBI and CIA would come to my defense, but they have failed to come to my aid. My only hope is that you come to understand what has happened here. When the world realizes what has happened, there will be justice, but I cannot sit by and be a victim any longer, and I refuse to sit by and do nothing while my nieces and nephews and the rest of my family are operated on with mind control. Our thoughts are not private. It is disgusting and it is cruel. I will be launching the first counterattack against mind control in human history. I want to be very clear, this will not be an active shooting event. I will be executing some of the people responsible for activating shooters. If I happen to survive, please visit me in prison, if only to see the same man you have always known, rather than the victim of some mental disorder that does not exist. What you may not understand is that I will gladly die to expose this, and I will gladly die to help one other victim discover the truth of what has happened. If I can help another targeted individual fight back against telepathy, then the sacrifice will be well worth it. To any TIs who read this, understand that your attackers use the form of ventriloquism I describe in the paper to move your thoughts, but your thoughts can also move their mouths. To my friends in Chicago, Lexington, Dayton, and all over the world, get this email out to everyone you know. The most horrific weapon ever made is being used on human beings, and if you ever learn the truth, you will understand what I did here to protect myself and my family. Get this out to other TIs, other voice hearers, so the world has a chance to fight back. To my family, especially my nieces and nephews, I want you to understand that what I do here, I do for your future, and hope that you can live a life free of mind control.
Wow.
Wow.
And in my search, pops up another clip from 2015, from February 2015, called Arming Ukraine. Shall we have a listen just to see what it was back then? This is,
I'm sure it was pretty much what's going on now, but let's find out.
7 years ago.
Signature American Humvees, along with radars that can detect enemy artillery and rocket fire as well. And calls from Kiev and Washington to start shipping.
Oh, notice they said Kiev back then. Oops.
Well, they're growing louder.
Among those options, obviously, is the possibility of providing defensive assistance to Ukraine.
I don't have the slightest doubt about the weapons supply to Ukraine from the United States and our other partners.
So we will continue to provide Ukraine with security assistance.
Biden.
Frankly speaking, we would be happy to get more, including defensive weapon, lethal weapon, and so on and so forth.
However, European politicians are not so keen to provide weapons to Ukraine. The UK is not going to help Kiev with lethal military assistance.
Oh.
France is planning to do the same. Sending weapons to one side of the conflict doesn't seem a very consistent step. This is a reaction from Brussels. The German defense minister says there are already too many weapons in Ukraine. She's supported by her Italian colleague. And German chancellor firmly declares that Berlin will not support Ukraine with weapons. However, the US is blaming Angela Merkel for a wrong decision.
Here's the problem I have with the chancellor's position. She can't see how arming
Lindsay.
People who are willing Lindsay to fight Graham. And die for their freedom makes things better. And to now turn our back on this struggling democracy, and that's exactly what you're doing, in my view, when you turn down a reasonable request to help defend oneself, is not our finest hour.
Yeah. Are you catching on, people? Do you see this is just a rinse and repeat?
It was gooey.
Yeah, very gooey.
My concern is that I feel like socialists are taking over. They're marching through the institutions. They're taking everything over. Taking over education. It looks like they've taken over a lot of the corporations. It looks like they've taken over the military, and it's just continuing. Yeah. I'm deeply concerned about. You know, I'm a capitalist at heart, and I believe in liberty and capitalism. Those are my twin values. And I feel like, you know, with the way freedom of speech is today, the movement on gun control, a lot of the liberties that I've taken for granted most of my life, I think are under threat.
the needle.
Also in the news this week, let's talk about Italy's move to the far right. Giorgia Meloni, who I like to call Mussolina, a member of the Brothers of the Italy Party. Why do they have these names? Will be Italy's first female prime minister. Meloni has displayed extreme points of view, such as saying the following during a speech in June. Yes to natural families. No to LGBT lobby. Yes to sexual identity. No to gender ideology. Yes to culture of life. No to the abyss of death. She also used the word financial speculators, which Mussolini used to love to use to refer to Jewish people. She, of course, was just using it. It was definitely a dog whistle. U.S. politicians such as Ted Cruz have called Meloni spectacular. Anyway, good for her. What do you think?
I think this is a bigger discussion, and that is
the sweetness.
There have always been... women have, and we don't like to talk about it because we like to assume that everything any woman does is like, you know, benign and noble.
Greed.
And what you have here is the weaponization of femininity, the weaponization of women as a gender. And that is,
oh my God,
Hillary Clinton accidentally comes out and says, it's great to see a female leader not having done her homework.
Yeah.
This woman is terrible for women.
Terrible. Yeah.
She is not only anti-immigrant, she wants to deny women of their reproductive rights. She wants to, fascism is basically you endorse violence against immigrants.
Oh, is that what fascism is, Professor? Thank you.
What you have is,
wow,
you know, her less polished, in The Intercept, a great piece on this, far-right counterparts in the U.S. Congress, such as Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lorraine Boebert, among others.
Boebert.
They weaponize their roles as women.
Weaponize?
And they basically say that immigrants are importing sexual violence.
Yeah.
And no one can, it immediately stops the conversation and scares the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't care if it was the KKK. There's always been, make a shift for this, white women have always played a key role in the advancement of these terrible, and it's not, we have to evaluate people based on their views.
That's correct. I tend to agree with you here, Mr. Galloway.
And just because she's a woman doesn't mean she's not hateful against LGBTQ people.
Yeah. Hateful.
Yeah. So and also immigrants and also Jewish people, apparently.
And women. She wants to put women in the home and take away the rights. So.
Right.
Who gives a shit that she's got indoor plumbing? She's terrible for women. She's a fascist.
Did you say indoor plumbing?
She's a fascist. So people immediately knee jerk and say, oh, isn't it wonderful that we have a female leader? No, it's not wonderful.
No.
Anyone who destroys the rights of our mothers and our sisters and female immigrants is a threat.
Yeah.
This is very disappointing.
I would agree.
Oh, jeez, stop, dude. Wow, the guy can't stop talking.
Well, let's see what the second piece is here.
Yeah, and the difference between, you know, I think that you should do an executive order where you could do, you can post.
I like this. Hey, you know, we're all on your side, Joe, Prez Joe. You should do an executive order. It's like, this is, I imagine this is how people talk to Elon, but to the president. Hey, man, you should do an executive order. It's so cool to do those.
Yeah, and the difference between, you know, I think that you should do an executive order where you could do, you can post on the internet, on social media, but you have to have your name, your address, and your phone number. And then we'll see if people change their tone a little bit.
Isn't there any way for the FCC or someone to put a rating system or the equivalent of saying, this is just opinion, this is actually fact?
Oh, you've wanted this for a long time.
Like, you should be able to have to hit a certain threshold. You can't just, everything can't look the same. It should have a little qualifier. Twitter does it, or did it with the last guy's tweets.
It's a sickness. Supercut time. All Dems.
In the Senate, Democrats are going to fight like hell to make this a reality.
I want the people of Pennsylvania, the people all across this country to know that we are going to fight like hell to protect your vote, to secure your vote, and to make sure that your vote is counted.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm confident that we're going to fight like hell to make sure they can.
We are going to fight like hell to make sure that everyone who wants to vote can exercise that right to vote.
This election is coming whether the president wants it or not, and we're going to fight like hell in Congress to make sure that the mail still works.
Today, Biden's VP Kamala Harris told supporters in a fundraising note that it is time to, quote, fight like hell to protect the Supreme Court following the passing of late Justice Ginsburg.
That legacy of rights needs to be continued. I'm going to fight like hell. Speaking for myself, I'm going to fight like hell.
Aaron, we're going to fight like hell.
The reforms, we're going to fight like hell to get those reforms in.
I, and I know many other senators and members of the House, will fight like hell to make sure that we act and act
as soon as possible.
I just have one thing to say about the next 8 days. I'm going to fight like hell.
They need a president who will go into the White House and will fight like hell.
Wow. You know, I was unaware of that supercut. I'm going to give you a clip of the day for finding it.
The graphic images that you're about to see. And he did a little supercut for us.
This video we're about to show you is incredibly graphic.
A warning tonight. The images are graphic and they are disturbing.
And a warning. The images you're about to see in this report are very graphic.
And I've got to warn you, what you're about to see is graphic and it is disturbing.
A warning. We're going to show you some of those scenes and they're graphic.
I want to warn you, some of the images we're about to bring you are graphic and disturbing.
And that a lot of these images, and we just want to warn our viewers, they're particularly graphic and brutal, so I want to allow them a little time to opt out of seeing this. So if we can hold off a few seconds, guys.
Once again, we want to warn all of our viewers, these images are very graphic. They are very hard to watch.
Some of the following footage is graphic. It's extremely difficult to watch, but I ask you not to turn away if you can, because this is how you bear witness to the truth.
NASA's new Artemis 1 rocket is the most powerful rocket yet, and it's the culmination of years of work for hundreds of people. Let's take a look at what's gone into the project.
Behind NASA's Artemis 1 project are hundreds of workers. Many of them are based in two major facilities, one in Mississippi and one in Louisiana.
Huh?
A manager says the workers all live in those regions.
And so when we think about the technology and the advanced technology of space travel and large liquid rocket engines and astronauts putting sitting on top of these engines and flying into space safely, and that's being done by Mississippians, that's being done by Louisianans.
Many of the workers are second or even third generation, meaning their parents or grandparents also worked on NASA's space programs. An engineer says they take pride in that.
The workforce is very important, right? We can't do this. You know, this wasn't a one or a two-person job. You know, this was teams of hundreds of people that came in that different backgrounds, different experiences that all made this happen together. So this area has that kind of talent. You know, it's been rooted down here for generations, and a lot of people see it as it's a badge of honor to work here.
Yeah, son, we build rockets. We build rockets down here, y'all. Yay!
I ask you because you know that Russians also tried to post it as a fake because you know that is a very problem. So I would like to ask you, did they provide you any proofs of
Viagra? No, like I said, it's not my role to go and investigate. It's not the role of my office. I have an advocacy mandate to provide strategic leadership on prevention and response. But when I have engaged with the media since I returned from Kyiv in May, I have mentioned that I have received reports from survivors and frontline service providers about women and girls being detained in basement of buildings in Mariupol, gang raped for days, with Russian soldiers having being equipped with Viagra and other drugs. And also they share,
you did not make any investigation about Viagra or something like
that? It's not my job to make an I do not have the mandate. Mm-hmm. I sit in New York, in an office in New York, and I have an advocacy, and I have an advocacy mandate. My role is not to investigate. The investigation is going on by the Human Rights Monitoring Team and the International Commission of Inquiry. In their report so far, there is nothing about Viagra.
So far in the official report, there's nothing about Viagra. I just have an advocacy role. Service providers on the ground tell me what to say. That's what I do.
But resist, we much.
They're immediately starting to change House rules, and there's a little tidbit at the end that I thought was a wow.
House Republicans passed some expected rule changes on Thursday. Several of the rules proposed serve to weaken the power of the House Speaker. Here are the details.
On Thursday, House Republicans passed the first round of several expected rule changes. The conference addressed 12 of 24 proposed rule changes put forward by GOP members. Several of the proposed rules weaken the power of the Speaker. Many Republicans remain lukewarm about the prospect of Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. One of the new rules passed by the conference would make it easier to remove a sitting speaker. The rule allows a majority of the GOP caucus to vote to remove the speaker. Currently, the speaker's seat can only be vacated following a motion from the House Majority Leader. Under the new rule, any member can put forward a motion to depose the speaker. A majority of the conference must then agree to the motion before it can go to a vote. One effect of that is to prevent Democrats from placing someone in the speaker's seat. Republicans do have a majority in the House, but Democrats could propose someone like Liz Cheney and get enough supports from both sides of the aisle to actually make her the speaker. Cheney was defeated in her primary earlier this year, but the Constitution does not require that the speaker be a sitting elected member of Congress.
Wow!
I've got information, man. New shit has come to light.
And so he just, it was like somebody left a comma out or they didn't space the prompter correctly.
That's exactly what happened. You know that's exactly what happened. He's not coherent. Were you going to give me something?
Was I?
Yeah, you said, I thought you were ramping up for a clip of the day, but if the moment's gone, the moment's gone.
Oh, that, you want a clip? No, you actually got clip of the day earlier.
I did?
Yeah, very early, and then I let it pass, and then now I've been reluctant to give clip of the day. And then when I came up with my Northrop clips, which should have gotten a clip of the day.
Yeah, but I had that
you
clip.
You snubbed them about the
no,
weapons of war?
No. Stop. I did not snub them. I thought you were going to do something else based upon a previous email thread, and then you said, no. We're on the same page. So
what you've done
anything.
Is you've put in my mind, you've shoved my, in fact, you were within a nanosecond of getting clip of the day for that particular clip. It was a good clip.
All right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I was restrained by my angst over the previous screw up on my part and then your failure to recognize a good clip when you heard one.
All right. So. Next time we'll leave that for the postmortem and we can just continue with the show.
Clip of the day.
Oh man.
Clips of the day. We think
very entertaining.
Back to how we have so many. Yes, very entertaining is right. It's kind of weird just to listen to those by themselves, like I don't know. Great idea. Thank you, Circumference. Really appreciated that.
Fun.
I don't know what we'll do for the next time we have a best of it. Christmas.
Well, you know, I still have to. I've started the clips from COVID from the first year.
Yeah.
It got to about 9 months in, so I got two more shows COVID, on COVID to do.
But I guess we'll do a show live on Christmas, the 25th. Yeah. Hadn't thought about that yet. Absolutely, he said.
It's easy for you to say.
Let's get to Thursday's show first. I'm sure I'll be back. I'm sure I'll be better. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, FEMA Region Number 6. Looking forward to the next time. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. Until Thursday, adios, mofos, and a hooey hooey and such.